Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Y'all ready? Woo, I am ready. All right, how many people like peanuts? Do you have any peanut, you know, people in the house like peanuts? Okay. How about peanut butter? Any peanut butter? Okay, give me my creamy peanut butter fans. Go ahead and clap if you're a creamy peanut butter fan. Okay. Now give me the crunchy. All right, come on. About 50-50. All right. Did you know that last year the average American consumed 7.7 pounds of peanuts and 4.4 pounds of peanut butter? Did you know that? I want to take just a minute to open today and tell you about a man who is nicknamed the Peanut Man. Maybe some of you are familiar with this story. His name was George Washington Carver. Anybody here of Dr. Carver? Some of you may have, some of you may have not. Dr. Carver was a man of great faith and of great influence when it comes to this little thing, this little legume called the peanut. Let me read you something that Dr. Carver wrote. He says, "When I was young, I said to God, 'God, tell me the mystery of the universe.' But God answered, 'That knowledge is for me alone.' So I said, 'Well, God, tell me about the mystery of the peanut.' And God said, 'Well, George, that's a little more your size.' And so he did proceed to tell me about the peanut." That's what Dr. Carver wrote. And God did indeed give George significant and special insight into the peanut. In fact, Dr. Carver would go on from the peanut to develop over 300 different ways for its use. Amazing. Medicines, cosmetics, shaving cream. I mean, it was incredible how many things. And Dr. Carver consistently said it was God directly telling him and giving him these ideas about what to do with the peanut. This is amazing. But his influence didn't stop there. You see, he actually began to influence others. In fact, although the peanut, he didn't invent the peanut, but he found 300 ways for it. Peanut butter was actually not developed by Dr. Carver. It was developed by another man whose name you might be more familiar with, Dr. John Kellogg. Kellogg cereals, anybody ever heard of that? Dr. John Kellogg is actually inspired and influenced by Dr. Carver. He was actually the one that developed peanut butter. Interesting. The peanut, something so small, but still influencing the lives of millions of people every day. Primarily because one man asked what he could learn from it and what he could do with it. I've come here today to tell you that you don't have to be a world-famous inventor or a giant cereal maker to have influence. You see, God has an expectation for you and from you that you will be an influence in this world. Every single one of you. Listen, you may not understand the mysteries of the universe, and neither did Dr. Carver. But that's not necessary for you to be used by God to make the kind of impact that he's calling you and I to make, to influence his kingdom here on earth for his glory. For his glory. You see, this whole month we've been in a series called I Am In. In week one, we talked about how I am invited, right? Everybody's invited to be a part of God's church, to have a relationship with Christ. Everybody's invited. The next thing we looked at in week two was I am invaluable, that each person to God is invaluable. Your skills, your talents, who you are. And then last week, we looked at what does it mean to be truly invested in your relationship with God and in his church. So today, here in the final week of our I Am series, will you just say this with me? I am influential. I didn't hear that. I am influential. You are influential. You are influential. But here's the thing. Before we go any further, we need to understand what we're talking about when we say influential or to be an influencer. You see, the world has actually hijacked that term. The world has hijacked that term to mean something that it was never intended to mean. Right now, if you were to go do a Google search on influencer, you're very likely to see this definition. Someone who influences purchase decisions because of the number of followers they have on a social media account. That's likely the definition. If you were to Google search right now the word influencer, that's what you're going to, that'll probably be the very first definition that you would see. Now, before the social media world, we used to consider influencers people like teachers, coaches, maybe good friends of ours, hopefully our parents, right? We're good influencers in our life. I hope maybe you've had a pastor that's been a good influence for you, a Sunday school teacher, right? Those are who we considered the influencers that we would look to. What happened? What happened that that word became about how much somebody can sell you? What happened? You see, the world influencers today, and the word influence has become about content creators, celebrities, niches, hashtags. It seems to be more about the platform than the people. Did you hear me? Today, I have come to restate and to reclaim the true meaning of what it means to be influential, what it means to be a real influencer. Not somebody who's just tuning into your channel so you'll buy more stuff. So in order to do that, we have to come up with a different definition then. A more real, a more true definition. So here's the true definition of what influence really should be. Influence is the power to change or affect something or someone in an important way. That's what real influence is, and that's what real influence looks like. True and lasting influence always starts with people before platform. Did you hear me? Real influence is always about people way more than platform. Always. I want you to see how Jesus described what real influence looks like. What it, in his world, in his kingdom, what a real influencer looks like. This is what he said in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You are what? The salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That's what a real influencer looks like. Being an influence for God is the only influence that can actually change people. It's the only thing that can actually affect people's lives. So what does it look like to let your light shine? How can you flavor, make this world a little more salty? Not in a bad way. Come on, y'all here. No, this is a good kind of salty. It's not, oh, I've got an attitude salty. No, this Jesus talked about being a good salty. It's called adding flavor, preserving some things. That's what Jesus is talking about here. How can we do that? How can we be that and the light and love of Jesus? I want to show you a story in the book of John that is a beautiful example of what influence looks like. It's found in John chapter 4. Some of you may be familiar with this story. We're going to dissect it in a little bit different way today. The story is about Jesus and a woman at a well. Some people have heard that story before. Okay, some of you. Hey, if you haven't, it's going to be a great chance for you to learn about it today. And at this well, Jesus has a conversation with a Samaritan woman. Now, the woman was quite surprised that Jesus was even stopping to talk to her to begin with, because you see, Jews and Samaritans back then did not like each other. And specifically, the Jews were really the ones with the issue, to be honest with you. They just didn't want to have anything to do with Samaritans. And remember now, Jesus by birth was a Jew. He came for everybody, but he was born a Jew. Okay? So when this woman is interacting with Jesus, she knows he's a Jew, and that's why she's a bit surprised why he's even taking the time to talk to her. Well, Jesus proceeds to ask the woman for a drink of water. And then this is how the dialogue goes from that point forward. This is how she responded. It's in John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. She says, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied. And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." Jesus then goes on in the next part of the scripture to correct, he goes on to tell her about this water and offering her this drink and saying, if you would get what I'm giving you, the drink I'm about to give you, it will never run out. Okay, that's what Jesus says. And then let's pick up the story starting in verse 16. So Jesus then tells her, "Go and get your husband." Jesus told her, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're with right now." "You certainly spoke the truth, sir," the woman said. "You must be a prophet." Okay. So then the next part of the story, Jesus goes on to correct some wrong thinking that she had regarding worship. You know, she was making worship about a place, and Jesus reminded her, no, worship is about a person. Worship is about a person. And she goes on to tell her, look, you can worship anywhere. What's important is that you worship God. And that you do it in spirit and truth. So that's kind of the next part of the story. Now, this is how the woman responds to all of that, starting in verse 28. It says, "The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village," say those next lines with me, "telling who?" One more time, "telling who?"
Everyone.
"And she said, come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" And finally, this is the conclusion of the story or of their interaction, beginning in verse 39. So she did, in fact, go back and tell. She said, "Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. And so he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and to what? Believe." My friends, this story is a powerful example of what influence looks like. This is what influence looks like. But it also, there's some lessons in here that I want to talk about for a few minutes about how we can be influential. And some reminders about being an influencer for Jesus. The first one is this. I want you to remember that your life does not need to be perfect. Am I talking to anybody in here? I want you to remember, if you want to be an influence for Jesus, your life does not have to be perfect. Because if you're waiting for it to be perfect, it ain't never going to happen. Straight up. You see, if you believe you need to have it all together in order to influence others, I want you to think again. The woman at the well, she didn't have her life together, did she? Anyone here say, yeah, she had it all together. She's good. But here's the thing. She didn't let her issues get in the way of her ability to influence others once she met Jesus. Yeah, come on. Come on now. I want you to notice how it says that many of the other Samaritans believed because she had shared with them that Jesus told her everything that she had done. That was a connection point. I wonder why that is. I'm going to tell you why I think it is. I believe the reason for that is that they, the other Samaritans, saw themselves in this woman. They were thinking, hey, if Jesus can forgive this woman, oh, five husband and 6-1 ain't one either woman, and believe me, they all knew it. Oh, if you don't think they knew that, they knew that. And they're thinking, hey, if Jesus can forgive her, if Jesus can bring new life to her, that's something I want to believe in. Come on. You see, that was their connection point. That was their, the wording is so important. That's the reason they chose to believe, because they saw themselves in her. Wow. I want you to know something today when it comes to you being an influencer. Even though your life may not be perfect yet, you can still influence other people. Because, hear me on this, because, and if you like to take notes, write this one down. Here's the reason why. Because people may admire you for your strengths, but they connect with us in our weakness. Come on. Come on. People admire us for strengths we have, but you know where we connect? In our weaknesses. That's exactly what happened with this Samaritan woman and this whole village of people. They connected to her weakness. She didn't stand up and say, hey, come believe in Jesus because I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm so good. No. No, they connected because they saw who they knew was a broken, messed up, jacked up woman changed by the power of Jesus Christ. That's why they believed. That's why they believed. My friends, you are influential when you can relate to somebody where they're at. When you pray for them and for them from a place of understanding, from a place of, hey, listen, I know where you are right now. I know where you are right now. When you can share with people your own testimony about how Jesus showed you some light, showed you some truth, showed you something about your life, so that you can then say, he changed my life and he can change yours too. That's really what this woman was saying. I had an encounter with a man who I had no business being at that well with. And he changed my life. That was her message. That was her whole message. He told me everything I ever did. And he changed my life, and he can change yours too. That is being a light on a hill. That is being influential. The second thing I want you to remember is this. You need to let Jesus influence you. This is at the crux, my friends, this is at the crux of it all. Let me say this very clearly, because it serves as the entire basis for any influence you will ever have for the cause of Christ. This is one right here. This is the one. You can't influence anyone until you let Jesus influence you. That's how it started for the Samaritan woman. That's how it started for Dr. Carver. And that is exactly how it starts for you and I. We cannot influence anyone for the kingdom until Jesus influences us first. Come on. I'm stepping on some toes. No, you can actually clap for that, because that's actually good news. You see, the Apostle Paul expressed it well in Philippians chapter 3 when he said that knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection was the most important and influential thing in his life. Nothing was more important. In fact, he went on to say, I can't do anything else I do from this point forward. I can't do unless I have that first. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I have no power, no influence, no anything without Jesus working in me and through me. That was the key to any ministry that the Apostle Paul would go on to do, write 2/3 of the New Testament, all that. He said the number one most important influence in his life was Jesus himself. That needs to be the case for you and I. We can't give what we don't have. We can't share what we don't possess. Come on. You can't give something you don't have. Come on. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let Jesus show you. Let him tell you everything you ever did. You willing to do that? You willing to let Jesus tell me everything I ever did? What are you saying? Psalm says, show my heart to me, Lord. Tell me where I'm really at. Whew. You see, this woman's healing, hear me, this woman's healing and her influence began when she let Jesus impact her. That was the beginning of her healing. That was the beginning of her influence. She received his truth, even though it was tough to take. You think she liked just sitting here having Jesus? Yeah, you're right. You had five husbands and you still ain't with one. Do you think that was a pleasant experience for her? I don't think so. Probably wasn't. Probably, whoa, this guy knows everything about me. There was some exposure going on there. But you got to shine the light to get some stuff healed in your life. Come on. Come on. You got to let God shine some light on you. Come out of the darkness. Imagine this woman, think about it. She'd been living in darkness for who knows how long, trying to chase happiness and fulfillment in basically men, right, or in other relationships. And Jesus shone a light on it and said, no. First I'm going to shine the light, and then I'm going to show you how to get out of that. I'm going to show you there's something better. Yeah, come on. Now notice, she didn't downplay her sin. She didn't start making excuses. No, no, no. Nowhere. Well, God, Jesus, if you just knew, I had nowhere else to go. No, she didn't start making excuses. Not what she did. What she did instead was she came to Jesus with a heart that said, how can I have a new life in you? She said, show me what this living water looks like. How can I have it? Hear me. She brought a hunger. She brought a hunger to obey and not hesitation. She brought a hunger to obey, not reasons, excuses, hesitations as to why she couldn't. Oh, no, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could stop living with this guy. I don't think, whatever. That's not what she did. She came to Jesus with a hunger that said, show me. Give me I want the living water that you're talking about. I want a new life. I don't want to keep living my old life. That's what her heart said. That's what her heart posture was. My friends, the first step to you being influential is to let Jesus influence you. Last thing I want you to remember is this. I want you to remember to pray about who to influence and how to influence them. I want you to specifically be asking, praying, who can I influence and how can I do it? You know, in last week's message, we talked about being intentional, strategic when it comes to giving back to God in our tithes and offerings. Remember that? We said there needs to be a strategy there, right? That the first part of everything we get, we're giving back to God. There's a strategy, not just happenstance, maybe. No, there's a strategy. I'd like to suggest that we take that same approach when it comes to having influence for the kingdom of God with those around us. Think about it. Strategize. How can I do this? First of all, who? Then how? I'll bet you right now you might be able to think of some people that God may be calling you to influence. You see, for the woman at the well, she knew right away who her people were. She went right back to the village. She said, I'm not wasting any time. I'm going to tell everybody about what just happened to me in my life. She didn't waste any time. She didn't even pray about it. She just went and did it. Right? That's how excited you know. Oh, man. Okay, I'm just a little side road. You don't need to pray about something that God's already clearly said to do. You don't. And I'm sorry, but oftentimes we use prayer as a hesitation. Like, oh, well, let me pray about it. And maybe I'll do it. No, if it's already clear in the Word to do it, you don't have to pray about it. You actually don't. You don't. You don't need to pray about it. You need to be about it. You just need to be about it. That's what this woman was. She was about it. She wasn't praying about it. She was, well, let me go, you know, talk to my sister or my best friend and see, should I really go share it? No. She just went and did it. She just did it. She didn't pray about it. But sometimes prayer is valuable. I'm with you. So I'm asking you to prayerfully consider who God may be calling you to influence. Who is God calling you to go tell? Who's God calling you to go tell? Maybe a friend, a family member, coworker maybe. Maybe there's some people you've already been praying for. Ask God to show you who he is highlighting that needs your light of influence. The light that Jesus has called you to be. Jesus has called you to be a light. You're an influencer. You don't have to be on Instagram to be an influencer. You are an influencer by definition of who you are. If you are in Christ, you want to follow him. Matthew chapter 5 says you are called to be an influencer. You don't need a platform. Woo! Yeah. You don't need your own YouTube channel. You don't need your own Instagram page. Might use some of those things occasionally, but you don't need them. Not to be an influencer. Once you then decide who, let me give you a few practical ways that you can actually be an influencer. You can be the salt and light that Jesus has called all of us to be. Number one, listen to someone who is hurting and offer to pray for them. Do you know how many people in this planet, it will blow your mind. How many people have never actually had someone literally just pray for them? You know how powerful that is? There are literally billions of people on this earth that have never had someone just listen to them and pray for them. Never. Pastor Karen and I have been doing this a long time. Even in the church, we see this. This is why you need to be connected. This is why you need to be a part of things, not just come in, go out the door, and leave. I'm sorry, but that's not the full part of what Christ said the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ, loving each other. That, you know, there's something in the Bible called all the one another's. Well, there's only one another's if there's more than one, right? So if it's just, you know, if you have the mindset that says, well, church is just for me to come in, feel good, and walk out the door, my friends, no, it's not. That is not why we gather here on Sunday mornings. That is not why we gather here on Sunday mornings. We gather here for two reasons. Number one, to worship, and I hope that you come in here on Sundays with a posture in your heart that you are going to worship the God who gives you every breath in your lungs. I hope you walk in here with that expectation that you are here to worship him. You actually aren't really, to be honest with you, you're not really here to receive, but God is so good that when you bring him your worship, you can guarantee you will receive. That's how good our God is, okay? The Word says it is the Father's pleasure to pour out on us. It's his pleasure to do it. But that's not the reason we're coming in. That's a byproduct of what happens. The second reason we come to gather is to love one another, to bear each other's burdens, to pray for each other, to serve each other. You see, those are the two main functions of why Christ established his church. He didn't establish it with a mindset of, it's just me and my four and no more. That's not the gospel. That's not the church. Understand why you come. And let me also just say this. If you truly come in here to worship, and that's the number one priority, you prayed about it, you walk in here. Let that be reflected in your heart posture. Look, I know for everybody here, you might say, or for some people here, you might say, I don't know, Pastor, I'm just kind of not comfortable and, you know, raising my hand, or, you know, I'm not really comfortable, you know, putting my full, you know, array of worship or emotion out, and you know, someone might think something. My friends, this is the place to do that. When you are worshiping, you are crying out to your Creator. You are saying, God, I love you. You are, Jesus, you're everything. The last song we sang, right? I don't need anything else. That's what the song says. I just need you. If you're crying out from that position, that place, let it show. Let it show. I don't care if you're 18 or 80. Doesn't matter. Age has nothing to do with this. Life experience has nothing to do with this. Your personality has actually really nothing to do with that. You say, well, I'm shy. Well, I just want to remind you what Jesus said. Those who acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father. Part of you acknowledging Jesus is how you worship him. None of this is in my message, by the way. How you worship him is an acknowledgement of him. You want to talk about how to influence? One of the beautiful things we started doing recently was having our elementary age kids come up here and worship. You know why we did that? Because number one, when their hearts are probably a lot closer to God than some of ours. Come on, I'm just putting it out there. Jesus said, don't keep the little children away. He said, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you got to be like one of them. Why? Because their heart. They ain't worried about what people think. They ain't worried about, you know, anything else but letting the Holy Spirit minister to them. I hope when you walk in here on a Sunday or on a worship night or any other time we gather, I hope that's your posture in your heart and your mind. Acknowledge Jesus with your worship. Let it show. Let it show. Next, there's another very tangible way you can influence somebody. Invite somebody to church. Okay, studies show that almost, it's well over 80%. And maybe we can just do a little survey of ourselves. How many people came to church at some point because somebody invited you? Yeah, that's the stats. Well over 80% of somebody comes to church, not just on a whim, not just because, oh, I think I'll wake up and go to church today. Yeah, sometimes God does wake people up and inspire. I'm all about it. But 8 out of 10 times, the first time someone comes to church is because someone invited them. How much more influence can you have? I mean, to me, that's one of the most influential things you can do. Invite someone to church. Here's another one. Maybe text somebody a Bible verse. Maybe you can't meet and pray with them, but you know they're going through something. Maybe you find a part of God's word that speaks to their situation. Text them, hey, I'm thinking about you today. I thought this might be helpful for you. Or God put this on my heart to share with you. God's word is always influential. In fact, his own word says, his word will never come back void, right, or without effect. Share God's word with somebody. Maybe you put a sermon clip, you know, up on your Instagram. Okay, because we're not, you know, we're not like anti-social media, because social media can be used for some really great things, but it can also be a trap for a bunch of junk. Okay, let's just keep it real. Okay, so we're not anti-technology or don't use it. No, but use it to be really influential, not to build your own platform. Come on now. How about this? How about give something to somebody in need? Is there a bit, man, I remember, I'm going to mention names or churches or whatever, but it was many years ago. And I was part of a church at the time. We were part of a church, and it was a mobile church at the time, right? So we had to come in every Sunday and set up and tear down and all these kind of things. And so I was on the setup team, right? And me and a bunch of other guys. And I remember there was one of the guys on the team whose air conditioner went out at home, and it was just he and his wife. I don't know if they had their baby yet or not by then, but it was just he and his wife. And he didn't have the money to fix it. I mean, he didn't say it in a way like, hey, guys, I don't have an AC. I don't have any money to fix it. It just came up as we were talking, right? He was saying, yeah, my air conditioner's out and whatever. Well, me and several other guys kind of got together and said, hey, how can we help this guy? So we pulled some money together. The rest of everybody on that team pulled some money together. And, of course, he didn't ask for it. No, we just said, hey, let us help get your air conditioner fixed. You know, the beautiful thing, that was an influence. And praise God, I know this for a fact, that guy and his wife are still faithful members of that church. Still pouring into it. Still, they're now influencing other people. You see, just like Dr. Carver and Dr. Kellogg, your influence can spread. You see, if Dr. Carver hadn't had this vision of God about the peanut, maybe he never would have influenced Dr. Kellogg. Maybe we wouldn't have peanut butter. I don't know. But what I do know is because Dr. Carver went to God and said, hey, what can I do with this little tiny thing called a peanut? Because he did that, we have peanut butter. It's a fact. Fact. Wow. Jojo, you'll come. You see, I want you to remember this. You can't be everything to everyone, but you can be something to someone. Hear that. God doesn't expect you to be everything to everyone. He's actually the only one that can do that. Yeah, God can be everything to everyone. His word says it. I believe that. God can do that. You and I can't. So don't be guilty or don't feel like, well, I can't do everything, because you can't be everything to everyone, but you can be something to someone. You have no idea how one conversation, one word of encouragement, one expression of love might change someone's life. Just one little tiny peanut. Because Dr. Carver went to God and said, what can I do with this? Show me. Show me. Let God show you what your influence can do. You know, our God has a way of taking small things and making them huge. And your influence is one of those things. You may think it's small, but in the hands of God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, He can take your influence and turn it into something miraculous, powerful, something that could be lasting literally years, and for some people you influence for eternity. For eternity. With God's help, my friends, let's be the influencers that He is calling us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we love You so much. Thank You for loving us so much and for being, God, the greatest influence in our lives. Father, as You influence us, as You teach us, as You love us, God, will You show us how to be the salt and the light that Jesus has called us to be. Let us walk in the new life that You've shown us, and let us then, Father, show others. Let us be an influence for others so that they can also experience all that You have for them too. Father, let us be the influencers that you have called us to be in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen, with every eye still closed, every head bowed. I wonder if there's some people here right now who the Holy Spirit is actually influencing you. There's a still small voice whispering to your spirit that today is your day to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. And if you've never done that before, I'm here to tell you, I believe today is your day. Listen to that still small voice. And all that requires is just for you to believe. And you can express that belief just in a very simple prayer. And I want to invite everybody that this is your day. This is your one day to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Would you just say this with me? And let me invite all of us here who maybe have already accepted Christ as our Savior. It's beautiful. Would you just repeat this with me as well, just to support someone today that may be doing this for the very first time? Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you now. I repent of my sins. Lord, wash me clean and make me new. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again. Today, I make you the Lord and the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah.